How do you feel about tests? Have you ever heard a young child off to school and say, "Dad, I'm so excited, there's a science test today"? Anyone? Never? How do you feel about tests? You know, I was thinking about this. I think we struggle with tests. Because, you know, I kind of been talking to you about going to the gym and things like that. But I like to be in control. Right? I'm the one that decides if I get up and go out. That morning, I look at the rack of weights and I decide if it's going bigger or smaller or how I feel. I'm in control of the test, whether I'm going to press that harder or not, or get sweaty and walk away, go for a coffee instead. Friends, we like to be in control. We don't necessarily like tests. However, part of life is that we are going to go through tests. We're going to go through difficult and challenging things. There's so often, it would be awesome to be a preacher of the gospel and say, you know what, it's all sunshine and unicorns and lollipops. It'd be so fun. I'm not sure how I'd preach on that, but I'd love to say that to you. I absolutely would. But the truth is, we are going to go through tests in this life. There's going to be challenges, and we're actually meant to go through them and come out on the other side better, stronger, deeper, more in love with Jesus, more refined and focused in our lives. There's odds stacked against us, though. You see, the world around us, particularly if we have faith in Christ or we're kind of checking it out, it's going to push against that. The culture doesn't want you to be all about one thing, namely Jesus. Be about a whole bunch of things, but not him. Even our own selves, you know, humanity has this sinful, inward sinful desires that we're battling against. And this battle is because we want to be in charge. We want to be the ruler and the king, the captain of our own destiny all the time. We're actually waging war against ourselves. And there's also, we've been talking about this as we've been going through the book of Luke, and we're going to look at this today, that there is evil in the world. And it actually has a personality. It's really smart. It has a name and it has warriors. It has minions. It has personality and is actually prowling around. The scriptures tell us that it's prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. It's strategic. The world, the flesh, the devil are opposing and wanting you to fail the test. Wanting you to crash and burn. Wanting to throw you under the bus. Whatever metaphor you want to use. However, that's not the end of the story. And the great challenge that they're going to be posing to each and every one of us is like a fork in the road. Will you go your way or will you go God's way? To boil it right down. And I'm not meaning to oversimplify it because I know that life is complicated and challenging. But how many times in just day-to-day life are you faced with that fork? Am I going to go my way or am I going to go God's way? Friends, Jesus was faced with the same decision. We've been talking about the book of Luke, and we saw John the Baptist, and we learned about Jesus' baptism. And then last week, I wanted to skip over it because it's a genealogy, just naming off names. But there's this sandwich that happens where it's the baptism, and in between is a genealogy. And then in Luke, there's this temptation of Jesus. And we've been talking about Jesus mentor us, help us to learn what it means to live. And to learn that, he's showing us, okay, I was baptized. This is who I am. I'm affirmed by the Father. This is my qualifications. And now today we want to look at his temptation because he actually is going to mentor us. He's going to show us how we can face, how we can actually pass the test with him. Because he actually faced these kinds of things himself. And so there's this, I wanted to skip ahead, I'll be honest with you, over these things. But it's so amazing, this little sandwich of baptism, genealogy, and temptation for us to see. So I want to invite you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 4 today. We're going to look quickly at the passage here, the first 13 verses, and then we're going to talk about them together. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. So, right, we saw in his baptism that the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And he was affirmed by the Father. But pay attention to the Spirit's action here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. So he's in the river. He was with his cousin. And then, look at this. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him out into more wilderness. I thought we were past that already. No, there's more wilderness. There's more to be done. There's more to see. The Spirit leads him out into wilderness. He's guided by the Spirit. He's filled with the Spirit. Verse 2, for 40 days. And different interpretations would be to say he set this time apart to be with the Spirit, to focus on his Father, to be contemplating who God is and what it looks like for him to be the beloved of God, to be the Messiah on mission for people. And then it says being tempted by the devil. So it's laying the stage for what happens next. He ate nothing during those days. That's a long time. Sometimes 40 minutes is too long, right? I gots to eat. But he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, understatement, he was hungry. Yes. And look at the character that shows up in verse 3. The devil. And look at the timing of it. After 40 days, he was hungry. The one who prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, looking for the weaknesses. He shows up. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Ooh, that would be tempting, wouldn't it? Hungry, 40 days. But look what Jesus does. And Jesus answered him, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So he confronts him. The enemy is saying, take things into your own hands, Jesus. Just do it. You're the beloved of God. You're the king. You're the blessing of humanity. Just point in that rock over there. In fact, this is the wilderness. There's rocks everywhere. You could really fill up here. But Jesus counters him with the word of God. Look at the next one. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So somehow the devil has the ability to flash this before Jesus' vision. And in a moment of time, he shows him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "To you, I'll give all this authority." You see, the enemy does have power. And so he's kind of dangling it in front of Jesus. All this authority and all their glory, for it has been delivered to me, which wasn't entirely true. He has power, but not that kind of power. So he's skewing the truth even as he speaks. And I will give it to you. I give it to whom I will. Verse 7, if then you will worship me. See, there's a condition. This is not free grace gifts. Here you go. Away you go, Jesus. No, there's a condition. If you will worship me. He twists things. He knows that he's the Messiah. He knows that he has authority. He knows that he has glory. But he twists it on him. I will give it to you if you worship me. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Look at verse 9. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. So most likely it would have been the high point of the temple overlooking the Kidron Valley, which reached out. So the base of the temple would be high here, but then just a rock face down into the valley, potentially 450 feet up in the air. Somehow Jesus and the devil are up there. because he's got power, so he can do that. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. How does he phrase this? Look at what he does here. Verse 10, for it is written. See, Jesus has been countering the devil with the word of God. And so the devil changes his strategy in verse 10. He uses the Bible against Jesus. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Friends, you need to know today that the Bible is well known to the devil. He knows the word of God. He knows how to use it strategically against people. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He counters him again. Even though the enemy is twisting scripture, he knows scripture, but he twists scripture. And he counters him again that you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 13, it talks about the accuser departing, ended the temptation. But we see throughout the rest of the book of Luke that he's actually moving and working. He's still prowling around. This season of temptation ends, but he's prowling around. And just before Jesus goes to the cross, he strikes in a different way. And we'll see that again later in the book of Luke. Jesus is being tested. Will he live for his own glory? The fork is in the road. Will you go your way or will you go God's way? And then he answers with the word of God. I'm going to go God's way. And I'm going to answer that with the word of God. Will you submit and trust Father God, or will you go your way? Will you short circuit his plan? You see, the enemy knew exactly who this was he was speaking to. He knew he had power. He knew he was meant to rule. He knew that God was looking out and providing and protecting and looking out for Jesus. And he pressed that and pushed that and tempted and tested that. Will Jesus go his way or the Father's way? Well, I want you to see that Jesus passes the test. We can rejoice in that. We can get excited that Jesus passed the test. Literally, face to face with the devil, and Jesus passes the test. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. How did he do that? Well, there's a key attack. The things that we saw in the baptism are exactly what the devil goes after. It's not just for food, right? He's twisting things. It's not just about power. He's twisting that. It's not just about protection. He's twisting that. He's going after the identity of Jesus as the beloved of Father God. And he's going after that trusting relationship between Father and Son. Will you actually trust in him, even face to face with the devil, face to face in the test? There's a key relationship that the enemy is attacking. What's the key test? Identity as a beloved Son of God and Messiah for humanity. And the devil does this by distorting things. He distorts the most basic need. See, in the face of temptation, after 40 days of fasting, the devil's like, hey, you just needed a little bit to eat. You're going to be okay, Jesus. Just a little, you know, maybe a little, you know, Safeway dinner bun here. It's all right. Go for it. Jesus counters this, though. He counters it by saying, actually, I need the word of God more than I need a sandwich right now or any time. I need the word more than I need food. But the devil's trying to distort the most basic need. He's trying to distort the most important purpose of Jesus' life. And Jesus knew that he needed to submit to God's purpose. That yes, he would rule. Yes, he would reign. Yes, he had authority. But before all of that, there was a life and there was suffering and persecution and a cross. Of course the devil doesn't want him to go to the cross, so he's going to go after him right there. Absolutely. He doesn't want that. So he wants him to short circuit that right then. He needed to submit to God's purpose instead of using his power in that moment. And thirdly, the distortion that the devil uses is to distort the most wise guidance. He knows the word of God. And Jesus counters with the word of God, which is amazing. But something is so critical in what happens in this encounter in the third distortion. Even though the devil knows the word of God, he will not submit to the lordship of the Father. He knows it really well, but he will not for a second be lorded over by the Father. The brilliance of Jesus is that right here in this moment, he knows the word of God, and then he rightly applies it that he is my Lord, and I submit absolutely everything to him. The most wise guidance comes from right application of God's word in a lordship relationship. He rules, and here's Jesus acting out in his humanity, saying, yes, I'm the Christ, but I'm identifying myself with all of humanity. I'm going to walk through these things and show that I can submit myself completely to the Father's lordship. Jesus passes the test. You see, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, the phrase Deuteronomy, one way it's translated is law of life. Not just law of good knowledge, law of life. And Jesus uses Deuteronomy to counter the words of the devil. I want you to pay attention that Jesus is being tested in the wilderness. Friends, just like Israel, you see, the words of Deuteronomy come out of the season when Israel was in the desert and they failed the test, and they failed the test, and they failed the test. Here is Jesus the Christ. He's in the test, in the wilderness, quoting Deuteronomy and passing with flying colors. Who else was tested by the devil? Adam, the first human. The way we got in the circumstance that we're in right now with sinful humanity. He failed the test. Israel failed the test. Adam failed the test, and it had devastating consequences. Here's the Christ, submitting to the law of life, the lordship of his Father, and passing with flying colors in the face of the devil. That's amazing. The Holy Spirit brought Jesus into the wilderness because he was the beloved of God, and he was submitted to the Father, and this test was going to expose the brilliance and the golden magnificence of Christ. Through this test, he's Holy Spirit filled, he's beloved, and it's confirmed through these tests. Friends, I want you to know, we will face tests in this life. And tests, even that word, we don't like that. But Jesus, through Jesus, not on our own, but through Jesus, we can pass the test. I should have probably made that plural. We can pass the tests because there's forks in the road all the time. Well, how can we do that? Clarity number one that we see in this passage. We need God's word more than blank. What? Food? Coffee? Warm cardigans on a snowy day? Yes. 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 Friends, your most basic need is the word of God and the life of God, the way, truth, and life of God that we find in the scriptures through Jesus Christ. We need food, yes. We need basic necessities, absolutely. But the devil wants to tempt us and test us and put those things over and above Jesus. He wants to attack us with that so that if those things can be first, he'll let a whole bunch of other things be underneath that. But your most basic need is God and submitting yourself to his lordship. Your most basic need is the word of God that Jesus outlines, that he points to here. Friends, you can feast on all of the food for all of time, and if you're not submitted to him, you die. Your soul dies, and you're separated from him forever. We need the word more than we need the food. Clarity number one. Clarity number two is this. The Father defines your purpose. Have you thought about that? I feel like generally speaking, we put what we think our purpose is. We search inside and we find our purpose. And then we'll go and do that. And then we'll kind of ask God to bless that. And we'll maybe sprinkle some Jesus on there. But we're actually meant to do what Jesus is doing here, where we flip absolutely everything and we say, no, we're going to have our purpose defined by the Father first, and then everything else flows from that. The temptation and the testing will be, put this first. Put career first. Put money first. Put power first. Put relationships first, and then sprinkle some Jesus on there. Friends, your foundation is meant to be the foundation of the Father, relationship with him first and foremost, listening in that beloved relationship and finding your purpose there. And then everything else is decided from that point. Even the words you speak, the thoughts that you think, the depths of your soul. Your whole being is actually meant to be defined by the Father. And the devil will tempt you and test you and try and cut a deal with you so that you gamble that away and you don't follow through with the plan and the purposes of a Father. That's why we need Jesus' help to bring clarity. Thirdly, the clarity that Jesus brings is that we're meant to apply the word of God under his lordship. There is knowledge. We got all kinds of knowledge. There's Bibles all in this room. You got all kinds of stuff that you can access on your phone. Just type something in, and in a matter of seconds, you can have so much information and knowledge. Friends, there's lots of people who would claim that they know God. But is he their Lord? Are they following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life? Is he their Lord? And are they rightly applying the word of God? And I'm not saying this in judgment, but I'm saying this and it's dangerous. The world that we live in, we need the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us submit to his lordship and not just be people filled with information and knowledge. There's so much knowledge. There's so many things that we can learn. But are we rightly applying this word of God? That's what's so terrifying about this passage. The devil knows the Bible really well. But I'm so thankful that Jesus flips it and says, but he'll never submit to the lordship. Friends, will we submit to the lordship of the Father? Through Jesus, we can pass the test. You see, we are meant to shine as the beloved of God because of Jesus the Christ. We are meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the affirmation of the Father. We need the very Spirit of God in us. We need these things. We need to be satisfied in his word. That it's not just empty, hollow statements that he makes in his word, but it's actually meant to be life and truth and foundation and support. It's eternal. There's nothing in this room that's eternal unless it's in Jesus the Christ and in his word. We can be satisfied in it. It's actually satisfying. And we can be united with Jesus, our victory. Friends, it's awesome that Jesus face to face with the devil and he won. He passed the test. Praise God. And you can be united to this Christ, because if we're left on our own, we will fail and we will fail and we will fail and we will fail again. But that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to come through. When we're literally face to face with these forks in the road each and every day, we go our way or will we go God's way? Those are the moments where we're like, Jesus, it's okay. Jesus, dear God, help me. That's a good prayer, okay? We actually are faced with these choices, and the enemy will bring those to you. What's your most basic need? No, he didn't say that. He did not say that. What's your purpose in life? That pastor, he's being too passionate. No, that's not true. That's not true. Your life doesn't need to be defined by the Father. He's just being dramatic, for effect or something. No, lordship? Who does that? Nobody does that. When I make decisions, when I sign checks, when I have conversations with real people, that's overblown. See, it's insidious. It's subtle. It's whispers. If we look at the rest of the Gospel of Luke, there are people that are whispering and voices that come at Jesus, trying to derail him from the mission of God. And that's what the devil wants to do. However, that's not the end of the story. Praise God. Jesus is with us. And he wants us to pass a test with him. What does that look like for you today? What is the biggest test that you've ever faced in your life? Why do you think God brought it into your life? How could Jesus shine out of that? How strong is your hunger for God's word? That's a good question to be asking ourselves. Will we ask Jesus to strengthen that hunger? Will we ask Jesus to use his word and rightly apply his lordship to an important area in our life? What might that be? Some more next steps in your bulletin. And I just want you to consider these things today. What will it look like for you to pass the test? What test might you be facing today? Some of us, it's a heavy season of testing. Some of us, we're kind of in between, or some of us are like, yeah, I'm good. Friends, part of life is that we go through tests, but Jesus wants to take us through those things so that we pass the test with him. Let's pray together. Jesus, I just want to thank you again that you have passed the test. You have won the victory, Jesus. That you weren't derailed in the desert, in the wilderness here. You weren't derailed just before the cross, but you went all the way and you won. You win. And that you want to mentor us in what it means to go through the tests of life. Whatever we're facing today, Lord, you want to be the Lord of that, Lord. You want to show us your purpose and you want us to know that our greatest need is you and your word. So I pray, Jesus, that you will help each and every one of us in that. God, I thank you that you want that more than any of us here. So I just pray, Jesus, that you will come and lead us in your victory, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that you're smart enough and wise enough and strong enough to handle even a room full of people like this, each and every test that we face. You're adequate to handle these things and to bring us through these tests with flying colors, showing that we are yours and that you are good. So we trust you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.